Behind every interesting person is a great story. This is Person of Interest with Natalie Jones.
All right, everybody. What's up? And welcome back to the Person of Interest podcast with me, your host, Natalie Jones. Thank you for sticking in there with us all in 2020. We've had interviews all over the place, and I'm super excited about this next guest, Miss Chrissy Grody, the one and only. She is the woman behind the What the Fit podcast in the Cincinnati scene. She is a local fitness junkie and guru. I love her so, so much. And what I love most about this podcast is that it shows all the depths of her character. There's so many layers to her that I think social media and her presence as a fitness guru doesn't really show, and I really wanted to highlight those things for y'all through this. She is a phenomenal woman, someone I've come to instantly love. I haven't given you your best friend bracelet yet, Chrissy, but don't worry, Christmas is coming. She is an artist. She is a model. She is a badass corporate exec doing all these things, trainer. She explains in the podcast. She also is just a woman that has many layers to her that are unsuspecting. And I had a fabulous time talking with her about it. We were really, really real, which is cool. No BS in this, which is what I freaking love about this beat the most. Of course, there is a little bit of cussing per use, and that's about it. Deal with it. If you want to contact Chrissy, you can get her at Chrissy Grody on Instagram and at What the Fit Podcast. Enjoy, everybody. Her podcast can be listened to everywhere you find your podcasts. Enjoy. Oh, and also, layout for this. We were talking and I just pressed the mics on in the middle of our conversation, and then it kind of starts officially 3 minutes in. But I thought the first chunk of our just raw conversation was too good not to cut out. Love y'all. Talk soon.
Because it's also a trigger of like, okay, you are saying something and you think you're right. It means that I am wrong in what I think. And I don't want people to like not like me or think that I'm not doing something right. So I'm like, those feelings are triggered. And I just want to like justify how I'm feeling to them. It's like a story post, not to me, right? Okay, like psychological problems happening. Mm. And so I'm practicing like sitting with the discomfort of like the rage bubbling inside. That's like, okay, this isn't going to last forever. Mm-hmm. What's this feeling that's coming up?
That's a really great way to be. Actually, that's what I...
It's hard.
That's what I practiced when I quit drinking for a year. Uh-huh. And I quit smoking. I mean, now I quit smoking, you know?
Yeah.
So those feelings, I just feel like that's what people always told me when I, like, the year that I didn't drink and wasn't... And also during that time, I used to always go in and out of smoking cigarettes, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, like, just sitting with that uncomfortable feeling of whatever comes up, because all of a sudden you start feeling a whole lot more when you're not, like, numbing, you know? And then you just get more and more used to it.
No,
so good for you.
I know.
It's one of those strengths.
I know.
You're just getting stronger and stronger every day.
And I just don't respond. I had someone, like, interact with something that I posted that was, like, maybe meant to be inflammatory. And I was just like, I don't have to respond to you. Like, you can say whatever you want to me in my DM. I can leave you on scene. I don't have to reply.
You do not.
I do not.
And what I feel like, this is what I don't understand. I don't know if I'm cancel culturing, which I don't think that that's healthy for anyone.
No, we talked about this on the podcast. We came on that podcast.
Yes.
No to cancel culture.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But absolutely also, not.
If someone is offending me or in my way not bringing me anything, I'll mute you. So is that the same thing?
Okay.
I don't know.
So this also came up because I had the urge to say, I'm going to mute this person's stories.
Yeah.
And this person is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is you creating even more of an echo chamber then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should see things that you don't agree with. That's okay. You don't have to agree with everything that you're going to see.
Yeah.
So like I left it. I did not mute it because I was like, I think there's a difference between muting someone that like genuinely like brings you like discomfort and harm and like makes you feel gross or maybe gets you into like a comparison game or something like that. But this was just like, this was plain and simple. She had a different opinion and view than me.
Mm.
So I was like, this isn't the thing to mute.
Yeah.
I need to see that.
I mostly just mute when people overpost and are annoying, but I still like adore them as people. But I'm like, your social media game is so lame to me. I just can't.
No, I absolutely.
Is that bad? But I feel like all of us should do that. I'm like,
yes.
If you spend a lot of your time on social media, like I do, I'm like, I don't want to look at your stuff. Like, I love you. I can support you in other ways. Like, 100%, this is not it.
100%. Yes. It was a great feature that Instagram did. We don't have to unfollow.
I know.
We can just quietly say, no, thank you. I'm not participating in this part of your life.
Well, Chrissy Grody, I want to officially introduce you to, thank you for coming on the Person of Interest podcast with me, Natalie
Jones. Thank you for having me.
I have been on your podcast, which is the What the Fit podcast, yes, which I freaking love because fitness is a huge part of my life. And I feel like I don't really talk about it enough, but I exercise every single day. And the more and more that I'm getting into the fitness community in Cincinnati, my life just keeps getting better and better, which
is love to hear that.
Super cool.
Yeah.
And your podcast is part of that journey.
Yeah.
And if anybody hasn't followed it, please go follow her personal page as well. She's amazing.
Please follow the personal page at Chrissy Grody.
Okay, so I'm going to
we can end it now. We're done. Okay.
There you go. Good luck. You're welcome. Okay. No, but so you're like, I love you and your friendship and everything about your spirit, you know, for so many reasons. I feel like you're one of those friends that I'm like, oh my God, I know her. Oh my God. And also, like, you work really hard. You're very genuine. You live your life on your own terms. And you're also making your passions, like, something that you're giving back to the world. And you also, though, you are married. You are a college-educated woman.
I am a college-educated woman.
And you are a corporate real-job badass all in the same regard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do a whole lot. And, like, you've been through some shit. And, like, I just... mad respect.
Yeah. First generation. My dad was born in Puerto Rico, came to the U.S. when he was 17, learned English when he joined the Navy.
Well, I didn't know that. This is even... Oh, my God. Continue.
I told you the story of my birth, right? I was born in Atlantic City.
Mm.
My dad was a pit boss in the casino. My mom was a cocktail waitress.
Oh, my God. Knowing this is... Okay, continue. Yes.
Yeah, I thought for sure you knew this story.
If you told me when I was drinking a lot of Whispering Angel...
Oh, that was probably it.
Okay.
The ethos of my souls is born of my parents. And so, yeah, they had me... I was born in Atlantic City. My grandma and my aunt were waiting, you know, for the birth to happen. And the only place that was open was the strip club across the street from the hospital that is no longer there. So they had to go get coffee at the strip club as the dancers were wrapping up. But everyone in my family worked in casinos. Like, that was the economy. We lived right across the bridge of Atlantic City, and that's what everyone did for a job.
Oh my gosh.
So I grew up running around the casino.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I feel a special pull and energy infusion around neon lights, bright lights, the sling of a slot machine, the pulse of some dance music.
Yes.
It's running through my veins.
This explains so much. This explains so much. I'm so happy I'm finding this out right now. So when in the world did your family come to Ohio, the Canton area of Ohio?
So my mom and her family are from Canton.
Okay.
My grandma and my grandpa moved to Atlantic City because my grandpa was in construction remodeling and they were building casinos.
Yeah.
I think he actually built Trump's casino.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so they lived in Atlantic City for a while, and that's where my mom met my dad. And then we moved to Florida for a little bit to be near his family, because his family came from Puerto Rico to Florida, and then eventually went back to Canton to be with my mom's family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then left Canton at 18 and never looked back.
And you left at 18 to go to Miami, Oxford.
Yes.
And then that's where you met your hubby.
Yes, we met there, but didn't date until a couple years after we graduated.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I was obsessed with him. He didn't know who I was.
That's love that.
He did know who he was. He did say hi to me one time when we were walking to class.
I mean, he's a babe, so I can see how I can see how that would happen. Wait, so what did you study in school?
Strategic communication, which is Miami's fancy way of saying public relations.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So did I. You see.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this when you came on my podcast too. I had every desire, every plan to go to grad school after I left Miami. That was my one track mind. I'm going to go to George Washington University. I'm going to enroll in a master's of public relations. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Colorado for the first time, saw the Rocky Mountains, realized there might be something bigger than the little bubble that I've grown up in and known.
Yeah.
And really knew what I had known all along was that you were just going to grad school because you're too afraid to do the next thing in your life. Like, school's comfortable, right? I've been doing school for how long? I know how that works. What I'm really shying away from is this is a transition. and resistance.
So what
hard.
Did you do after that?
So I cried in my grandma's basement for 2 days. Okay. Canceled, like told school I'm not coming, broke my lease in DC, and then I'm just immediately started looking for a job, and I had no idea how to even job search. I didn't even have a, I never even went to a career fair or like a resume writing workshop or anything.
I still have never made a resume.
Well, I can help you with that now, but
I might need one sometime. Okay. Yeah.
My friend had just graduated too and was a Miami Business School graduate. They have like every resource available to them. He was an accountant. He got recruited by like Big Four, and he was the one that said, you should be a recruiter. And I was like, what does a recruiter do? Mm-hmm. He was like, just look for jobs in HR. I was like, okay, I have literally nothing else that I know what to do. Yeah. So let's just do that. Got like an entry level generalist HR role for a small company in Columbus. And it was great first gig because I got to try out everything of HR, recruiting, benefits, employee relations, like payroll, you know, all the stuff. And then I was like, okay, recruiting is the most fun for sure. Then moved to Cincinnati, worked for Total Quality Logistics. Everyone knows TQL, right? As a campus recruiter. And that was like the most fun. I just go into like Vanderbilt, University of Tennessee, OU, Miami, OSU, and just got to like hang out with college kids and be like, you want a job?
Oh my
Do like
God.
Classroom presentations.
Yes,
like a
that
brand
sounds like so
career
much fun.
Fair,
it's
handing
so
out the
perfect.
Sunglasses. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then came to the company that I'm at now. So I've been there for 7 years.
Wow.
Work in talent acquisition, own like corporate professional recruiting in North America.
So all of that, badass as a team underneath you, all these things. Yeah. And also, I just want to tell everyone it's 10 o'clock in the morning and Chrissy is wearing a leather mini skirt and a biker jacket and heels, and it's just fabulous.
And glitter tights.
And
I had to
tights.
Show up for you.
I know, girl. When I'm wearing my most comfortable
and also,
silk
I don't go,
ever.
I don't leave the house for work. I work from home. So I never get to do like a dress during the day moment. Mm. And I love putting together a fit.
Yes, me too. I love it. I would say, I think my favorite thing in the world to do is to put together a great outfit.
I agree. Like, as I'm falling to sleep at night, it's like what lulls me into a peaceful dream. I'm like, what will I wear next?
Oh
and
my
I
God.
Just like plan the outfit.
Oh my God, yes. And I can say that's why I get so uptight about gaining 5 pounds, because to some people, that 5 pounds means you can't wear your favorite skirt and look fabulous, you know?
Yeah,
and that's
that is annoying.
2020 pressure or stress, I would say, you know? I feel like we can all relate to that of like, ugh. Yes. It's just like that five stress pounds right now. God.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. But I want to know more about, so, I mean, I feel like I know you through What the Fit is how we met, you know, like, why did you want to start the podcast?
So I always wanted to start a podcast. I think it started probably around like 2013 when I was listening to Joe Rogan, Daddy Rogan, Papa Rogan.
Oh my God,
love him so much.
Don't you hate when you find people that you really love and then you look at their personal life and you're like, they're married, I hate him. And now I feel like a 13-year-old all over again. Anyway.
I just like think I want him to be my dad. I don't want to marry him.
I mean, he has daughters that are like 17.
Yeah,
so.
Truly. So I was listening to him, and even before then, I guess it started when I was like 6 in the bathtub, I would pretend to be interviewing someone and then also be the one being interviewed. So it would just be like talking back and forth conversation to myself, like having these pretend conversations.
Yeah.
Probably came from like watching Oprah, like some talk show,
same,
right?
Same, yeah. If fail you.
Yes, yes. So that has always been there for sure. And then I would think Joe Rogan has his podcast. I could have a podcast, but I had no idea what it looked like or...
Yeah.
There was nothing concrete in my mind, and it would just always live in the back of my head, like in the shower. It would pop up. I'd be thinking about it. I'd just kind of be fantasizing about it. And then one day I went to lunch with some coworkers, and this woman I was at lunch with was like, oh, these two girls, they started this podcast, yada, yada, yada. I don't remember what the podcast was. I just had this feeling that what if someone starts my podcast before I do? And at the time, ClassPass had just come to Cincinnati. So this was like early 2018. So ClassPass, right, allows you to try a bunch of different fitness studios. You don't have to be committed to having a membership at one place. You can bounce around, which we didn't have that opportunity before. If you wanted to try new classes, it was like, okay, $25, $20 drop in every time. You could have a ClassPass membership for $35 a month and then just try out a bunch of places. So it really like expanded the scope of like what's out there in the Cincinnati fitness community.
Yeah.
I was working with Cycle Bar at the time for like their young professionals group. So I was kind of like involved there, and I met a woman named Andy, and she was kind of my partner in crime when it came to trying these new fitness studios. She was the only person I'd met who like loved working out as much as I did. We would try these places, we would chat with people. And so at that lunch, when I found out those people were starting the podcast, I texted her, and we had not ever talked about this before. And I was like, do you want to start a podcast? And she replied back. She's like, yes, hi, of course, let's do it. And I'm like, yes, Andy, great. Okay, we can just like talk to people in like the health and wellness and fitness community. Like you have contact. She's also a fitness trainer, was teaching at Cycle Bar. You know, I love going to group fitness. I love to just try a bunch of new things. Like, we could just,
yes,
we could just,
isn't
we could do.
Best? Oh my God.
And she's like, all right, let's do it. So we started with The Fit. We released the first episode July of 2018. That next January, so January of like 2019, she came to me and she was like, this is yours. It's always been yours. Like, it's your dream. It's your passion. I don't want to hold you back. You know, at that time we were doing like every other a bi-weekly release of the podcast. And I was like, I really want to move to a weekly. And she was just like, the appetite for me is not there. You need to just run with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just like kind of took it over beginning of 2019. And so I've been doing it alone ever since. Yeah, we do weekly release every Friday. And now, you know what? I think I'm going to, this is like a person of interest exclusive.
Uh-huh.
I just made the decision I'm going to start releasing two episodes a week. So right now, like the format of the podcast is there's an intro. There's an intro portion of the podcast. And I developed that and wrote that so that Andy and I would have time to connect. My past guest co-host would have time to connect together before we talk to a main guest. So we would always run through the same three intro questions. Your favorite workout of the week, the thing you want to talk about, health, wellness, fitness, like whatever's going on in your mind you want to talk about. And then the wild card, which would be quick. What's your coffee order? What's your favorite Christmas movie? Whatever it was. And then we'd have the main guest. When Andy left, I didn't want to lose that intro part. I like loved the ritual and the routine of the part of the show. And so then I started bringing past guests back on to do the intro. So I'm like, this is great. It's a chance for listeners to reconnect with someone they might have heard a while ago, see what they're up to. Mm-hmm. People can come back on. You know, just kind of create that community. And so now what I think I'm going to do is I'm separating the two out. I'm going to separate the intro of the podcast to be its own episode. I think I'm going to call it the What the Fit snippet.
Okay.
And that's going to come out on Wednesday. And then I'll still keep our main guest interviews to release on Friday.
Okay.
And so now we're doing like,
I love this,
so,
by the way.
It's so fun.
And you're
fun.
Taking phone calls now and everything?
Yes. People can call into the voicemail. Call into the What the Fit voicemail. The number's in the Instagram bio.
I always think of things to see.
Why haven't you called yet?
I know. Because it's like in the moment when I'm like running and I'm like, ooh, I think of that. And then I'm done running and like it's a whole different mind frame. I don't know. I forget.
No, I understand. But it's fun. Yeah. People call in. They leave the voicemail. I respond back. It's so fun for me. Like talk about like comic creativity. Like this is the place where I just like get to, it feels so like such a great creative outlet that I can really just like kind of start to work on like some jokes and some, like I have no aspirations to be a stand-up comedian. Absolutely not. I do not want to get on stage and tell jokes. That's why I think podcasts are like the best form, because you can just be like, yeah, if I'm feeling funny and good, like let's just throw it out.
Feeling
does
yourself,
it stick?
Yeah.
Like whatever it is. And so the voicemails like give me that opportunity for sure.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely love listening. Like the voicemail. I mean, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You know how you were talking about how sometimes you see people like, what if somebody starts my podcast?
Yeah.
I see things, other ideas that people are doing, or like ones that I've thought of before, like all the time.
See, I couldn't deal with that.
And I'm like, oh, again, my freaking real job is getting in the way.
Yeah.
Not this radio job, but like in the past.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Oh my God.
No.
Well, I want to just take this opportunity just to ask, I just want to learn more about you.
Okay.
So, like, I don't want to, like,
start sweating.
Right?
I love to be on the other side. Like, I want to be in your seat.
No, I want to know things of, like, what do you eat for breakfast? Mm. What are, like, your days like?
Sure.
How, you know what I mean? I love that you drive a Tesla because I'm an environmentalist, even though I just bought a Jeep, but I'm, like, into the environment. You
yeah.
know?
No, and, I totally see that.
And, like, yeah. So, like, how does all that work in
okay.
your world?
So, we'll start with breakfast.
Okay.
Breakfast right now is the same every single day. And it has been the same every single day for the past like 7 weeks because as part of where I am right now in my fitness journey and my season of life when it comes to fitness is that I am working with a strength coach with the specific goal
right, yeah.
of increasing overall strength. Mm-hmm. I have never, we talked about, you know, I've bounced around. I loved group fitness. We want to be at a yoga class and I want to be at a HIIT class and I want to be in a boxing class, which is just great. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it is difficult to kind of monitor your progress and your growth without a specific goal in mind where you're like training towards that. And it's something that I preach on the podcast all the time about having performance-based goals versus an aesthetic goal.
Yes, I
like,
love
that. We have this campaign
that.
Against the word tone. Don't you? If you're going, like saying, what's your goal? You're talking to a trainer, you're talking to a nutritionist, whatever, and you're going to say, to get toned. What does that mean? That's a moving target. It's your perception of how you look. Like, there's nothing you can measure. Someone's version of tone is different from your version of tone. But you know what's the same? Can you do a push-up? Can you do a pull-up? Can you lift 250 pounds off the ground?
How do you feel about, like...
It's consistent.
How do you feel about, I have a goal to fit into a pair of jeans? That's more of aesthetic.
That's more of an aesthetic, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that you will... It could lend itself to leaving you feel unsatisfied because you're like, okay, yeah, I fit into that pair of jeans. Then what? It feels a little empty to me.
Yeah.
Versus like you're tracking something like my goal, for example, is that I want to deadlift 300 pounds by the end of the year. I want to pick 300 pounds. It sounds insane. Like my strength coach told me this was a goal and I was like, three? Huh? I'm going to pick up 300 pounds. But then week over week, you can see it's like a clear marker. I can see I picked up this weight this week. Now I'm picking up this weight. It's so like you can't argue with it. You can't get in your head about it. Well, you're like, what if the jeans stretched out? Well, what, you know, okay, these, you know what I mean? Like there's so many arbitrary things that it's like you can't argue. You can't really question the numbers. And then just to take a size or a time frame, right? I want to be fit before I go to Cabo in January, like whatever. Like take that away where it's like, it feels so good. And that confidence that you get from saying, I'm going to do something and then doing it, it translates to like every other area of your life. Anyways, I'm getting off with such a tangent. My breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what we were talking
breakfast.
About. Whatever. Yeah.
So because I have these very specific strength goals right now, and because I've never... While I've been very active my whole life and worked out all the time, I've never done this type of training, strength training. So I need help with eating for that goal. And so I'm working with a nutrition coach. And so my breakfast, here we go, 10 minutes later, it's always the same. One egg, 3 egg whites, 2 pieces of Dave's Killer Bread with a tablespoon of peanut butter on each. Crunchy.
Nice.
Absolutely crunchy.
Fave.
2 pieces of turkey bacon. Now, depending on where I am with my training, so like for this week, she gave me more food. And so I have a banana with the peanut butter. So it'll depend on like where I am with my training, where I'm progressing with strength, how I'm feeling, like all that. She'll kind of adjust the food depending on that.
Wow. So like to me.
Sometimes a grapefruit, sometimes blueberries.
Mm. And have you seen any, like, do you track your actual weight or your body measurements, or is that changing?
Yeah, so I have to send her my weight every week, and I take pictures. So I've only been doing this for 7 weeks. So I will send pictures at the start and then every month going forward. But it was really important for me going into this where I said, my goal is to get stronger. My goal is to not lose weight. And this is a totally new mind shift for me, or like recent mind shift for me. I was like, my whole life can't just be about losing weight, which is truly where it's come from in a place. If you've seen things of like, you know, you get asked goals or dreams or like whatever. And before, like my mind seriously would always be to like going to a weight. And I'm like, this is it? This is my whole life. That's what I'm dreaming about. That's what my goal is to be smaller.
Learning that.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes so much time. So I was very specific with her of like, this is my goal. So she's feeding me to support those lifts. It happens too that like, yes, I think I've lost 4 pounds over 7 weeks, mm-hmm. and definitely I can like see changes in my body. Which is great. I feel amazing. Yeah, like I'm like every, you just gotta like, I'm trying to focus on how I feel and my performance in the gym and taking like a weight out of the equation.
I think this is so great because you're making progress. And also like the breakfast you just described to me, like to me, that seems like a lot of food. Like I usually just like have a smoothie and coffee and try to not eat as much as
more carbs for sure. Than I have eaten in the last 10 years.
Wow.
And I'm losing weight. And if, oh my God, if we can take like one thing away,
mm-hmm.
the carbs are not bad for you.
It's so true. I feel like I always also lose weight or whatnot when I'm eating more for my body. And that includes like having toast with no guilt.
No.
And just going forward.
Yeah. And like I have carbs with the plan that I'm on. There's like 5 different meals. I have mm-hmm. carbs with 4 out of those 5 meals. And there's a snack that has carbs too.
Girl, you go.
No, it's
this
like,
is a preach. I mean, I like just, I love listening to this.
I think it's so hard to get out of that mindset as women though. And I have a really good friend, shout out Cincy Fit Foodie, who's a nutritionist, mm-hmm. a registered dietitian. She works a lot with women on their fitness goals and nutrition plans. And part of that process is like the start of like, okay, keep a food log. So let me see where you are, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every time, classic examples, women are not eating enough. And they think that I have to exercise more and I have to eat less in order to lose weight.
That's what
I am telling you, I am exercising less. I strength train 3 days a week with Johnny. I walk every day, like I stay active. I might do a random workout class here and there. I mm-hmm. do a really long hike every Sunday. But before I came from a place before I would do 2 workouts a day.
Yeah.
And I think that wouldn't be enough. And I'm just restricting.
Gotcha. So it's like,
and I know there may be people
the
listening.
Soul.
I know because I have heard other people say these things that I'm saying right now too. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe for you.
Yeah. You just got to try. Good for you, though. I mean, I'm very happy and proud of you. Was it hard for you to eat more and to do this and to follow this regimen?
At this point, it wasn't. And also because I really trust the woman that I'm working with for nutrition. But at a later time in my life or a previous time in my life, that would have been so difficult. I would have absolutely tried to cheat it. I would have been like, well, I'm just like, I'm going to do half of that.
We've talked about this before. And I feel like you and I share similar stories and what with like most women that body image and weight has been a thing forever.
I know a lot of women. I have a lot of close relationships with women that I pride myself on. I do not know, me personally, I do not know a single woman who has not struggled with body image, disordered eating, a disordered relationship to fitness. I don't know one.
Me either. And we... Dude, same. Like, I started running before school when I was in the 4th grade. Bit like little Nate Jones, who had a bowl cut and wore like boys Air Maxes because I thought I was fat and like loved doing sit ups.
And
you know what's crazy about it? When I was a kid and would watch all these stories about girls being anorexic, like those dare videos that are like to scare
or, like,
you,
or like Lifetime shows.
Yes, I was always like, oh my God, that girl's so skinny. How are her hip bones? Like, I was always like trying to learn.
It's like
something
glorified.
From it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was like. I had a really, my deepest, darkest time with eating disorder was my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
I was super unhappy. And I actually went to John Carroll my freshman year, John Carroll University, before I transferred to Miami. And I was deep in these like glorified anorexia blogs mm-hmm. where you could see people almost, do you remember LiveJournal?
No.
Do you have LiveJournal? It was just like an online diary, basically. Mm-hmm. And women would just post like what they ate and it would be like the smallest amount or like how they're feeling about eating or whatever. And I would just like sit on these like websites to like watch and not really watch, you know, it's all like reading basically. And that like just would try to go as long as I could without eating. Would try to exercise with sweatshirts on, just whatever. And the and the really messed up part about it is like I did lose weight, and I had so many rewards from that. You know, like people were like, "You look great," or like you know.
But did you ever have a? Did you ever struggle? Were you ever obese or or really overweight?
Yes,
you were.
Oh
no
my
way.
Gosh.
I did not know
how
this.
Did I have to show you the picture of LD45, Lady Dragons 45. It was me in the eighth grade, my basketball picture. I was a post. I was very overweight. So like I was in Weight Watchers meetings by the time I was like 10.
Oh wow.
Yes. Which is why I have such a good personality.
And I was a boy. I was a screaming, but I was a boy.
I didn't come into the Chrissy that you see here until much later in life. But I was always like, I don't mean to brag, but very popular. I had a lot of friends because I had to have a good personality. It was all that I had. But I was overweight. And, you know, as you got, and a lot of it was maybe puberty stuff, hormonal, like going on when I was younger. I had a pretty traumatic childhood.
I was going to say, the trauma around that I've heard, I think when you're a kid really, really affects you.
Yeah,
People overlook that way too much.
Right. And so as I got older, like I would say always probably a good, like, average, like 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that first year, that year when I stopped eating, I probably dropped like 20 pounds.
Oh, God, that sucks. And then it's supported.
Yes.
And then you create this normal of, I haven't eaten anything.
Yes.
How do I maintain
this?
What did you do from there?
I struggled with it for a lot of years. Like all throughout college, I was weight fluctuated up and down. I internalized a lot of my worth around how small I was.
Did you feel like your personal relationship suffered?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
I feel like that's a big thing. So I feel like in my life, I've had similar struggles. And I feel like I would always, that's why I chain smoked cigarettes for so long or like drank so much because I like didn't want to eat. Mm. But I would always be starving.
Yeah.
And so I would just like drink or smoke. And it was just like, then just do crazy stuff. You
know?
But I feel like my personal relationship struggled because I was so overwhelmed by, like, I would not, like, I've been asked to go on the Grand Canyon a couple times and I wouldn't go because I couldn't be in a bathing suit at 28 years old.
Oh.
The thought of being in a bathing suit for a month long freaking wrecked me. Even though, like, I was just, I've always been
I've definitely sat out on certain social situations like that at a pools or whatever, but I don't think the opportunity was great enough for it to, it didn't ever affect my social, my friendships or anything like that.
Oh,
I mean, romantic relationships for sure. I was not romantically involved with anyone, like, really seriously through college, like, a couple years after. It was not until I went to, it used to be called the Landmark Forum. I don't really know what it's called now, but basically it's this weekend of like intensive therapy, really just intensive self-actualization and realization that anything that has happened to you or anything that happens to anyone, you make it mean something. We as humans, we attach meaning to things.
Mm-hmm.
And we write stories about them. And if we're writing these stories, we make that realization that this is a story. I'm saying, my mom did this. My dad did this. I made it mean I'm not lovable. I made it mean I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
If we get that part of it, we can then say, okay, well, I'm going to write a new story.
Yeah.
And so it was really formative for me this weekend. I hadn't seen my dad. My dad left when I was 10, like walked out, never saw him again. At 20, I guess I was like probably like 24, I called him and was like, hey, you know, I hadn't talked to him in I'm not good at math.
Oh, hold on. Can I backtrack for a second?
Yeah.
I mean, of course you put this together, but I want to put words to it that when you were 10 is when you started to gain a lot of weight. And that's also when your dad left.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's definitely something like going on there. You don't realize that at the time, though. You're a child.
No,
like, how can you know? But I had a conversation with him that was kind of like, you know, you are a person that made your own choices and lived life the way that you chose to do. It doesn't have to have an effect on me, and I'm kind of like releasing you of what I've held against you or
good
like held
you
to
the freedom of forgiveness.
Yeah. And it was that year that I had my first romantic relationship.
Girl, oh, you know, people die resentful and never do this. So many people do. Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration to go on this weekend.
So I did it at first when I was like 13. My aunt had gotten into it and she was like, I think you should do this. And it was good. And I got a lot. I got kind of like a foundation. But I think you're too young still mm-hmm. then. Like, you don't have enough life experiences. So then I kind of, you know, was reminded of that experience and had graduated by then and was like, because it's expensive. Yeah. It was like making money on my own where I was like, okay, I think I like want to pay for this and do it again.
Yeah.
I went back and it was super helpful. But
wow,
I think
good
then
for you.
Since.
It's brave.
Yeah, it was tough. But I think since then, the relationship with food, it didn't stop there. Like it had become easier to manage. I think once you, again, whenever I have these feelings, which absolutely still come up now, of mm-hmm. That I want to criticize my body or I want to, you know, think that I need to restrict or I need to change myself, that to me is a check engine light of like something else is going on. Yeah. It's not your body. It's not your weight. What else do you have to address and take care of? Mm-hmm. That is the easy outlet to say, okay, well, there's something wrong with me. I have to change my body because I'm X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
But amazing. It's still I feel like it's always going to be a struggle.
It's a part of you.
Yeah.
You know, but do you know anyone though? So I feel like, I know we talked about this before, but like in the fitness community, I feel like that right there that you're talking about, I can relate to. And so can so many people in the fitness world.
Yeah.
And how do you make it? I feel like it's everybody's journey. Now that I feel like I have some perspective on it and I watch influencers and just professionals all along the way, see, I feel like most people evolve into where you are now. Like eventually it happens, but you have to go through it. And sharing that, I think, is really beautiful. I just had such a nerd moment, but
sometimes we can see on social media, you know, a bunch of squares on a grid of someone being like, I was struggling and now I'm good. And mm-hmm. it's like that. Well, what happened? Like, I'm not saying that's impossible, but it almost seems like, well, you must have this superpower that I don't have. And I'm always going to be thinking about how many calories I'm taking in, how many calories I'm putting out. I'm always going to be worried about how I look. And you can grow from it. You can grow.
Do you still think about, yes, hold on. I don't want to distract you, but do you think about calorie intake now?
No, I would say I don't really think about calorie intake as much because I'm also just more educated on nutrition and obviously, you know, talking to all these people in the fitness and wellness community. And I think it's important to note too, the physical fitness piece, of course, is an aspect, but on the podcast, like we talk about so much more than, I mean, really, if I'm being honest, like the physical fitness is almost like this little like open the door to like, actually we're talking about your mental health.
I know what I mean?
Like
yes.
It's really and so much about how do we take care of ourselves as humans to be our optimal, most quote unquote fit selves, however that looks, which is why, you know, I end every question with I end every interview with the guest with the question, what does being fit mean to you? And each one is different. Each answer is different, which is beautiful.
And what does being fit mean to you?
So I have to borrow. I heard a response from this gentleman on my podcast. It was with Brad Wise and Joey Taylor of Bespoken Live. They also have a podcast, Bespoken. And he said that being fit is being exceedingly kind to myself.
That's right.
So if you can operate from this place of making choices with the end goal of being exceedingly kind to yourself, like how can you not be fit? And I think to add on to that, being fit is being able to have this self-awareness to know what you need in that moment. Like, do I need to go to a happy hour with my friends? And like, that's going to be the thing that's going to be the best for me. Do I need to rest? Do I need to push? You know, I think that, and only you can know that. And that, like, being fit is like the whole journey of understanding, what do I need in this moment? How am I going to take care of myself in the best way?
And how do you find that out?
I think that you have to pay attention. I think you have to pay attention to yourself. Really, really be mindful. And okay, after I get done hanging out with this person, how do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
after I eat this food, how do I feel? I have to do this while I'm doing this exercise, how do I feel? And of course, you have to struggle. Like, you have to do hard shit. That's part of life. Like, it's not just going to be like, choose the easy path.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the path that's going to be good for you is sometimes a path that's really difficult. So I think it's just like practice, life, experience, like, having good people around you, community. Trial and error, of course. Like, you're going to mess up.
Is it hard for you or easier now to listen to yourself than it was before you started this podcast?
It is easier for me. I wouldn't say that I have mastered it by any means, but in the early days, a lot of the conversation was about, like, I feel guilty for not working out, or I feel guilty because I want to take a rest day. And, like, I don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, there's been a big evolution there. But
good for you. Don't you love those moments where now I feel like I've changed in a way to where when I don't give myself rest, in my mind, my logic is like, Natalie, you're like, if you went to that class right now, or if you did something, then, like, come on, kid. You've just been, like, you'd be putting yourself back. You're going to end up worse.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that way 2 years ago.
Yeah, see, that's great. Like, we have to pay attention to those kind of milestones. But, I mean, I also had to go through, I think, probably 20, I would say, like, last year, from like August to kind of the end of the year, I was in like serious burnout mode. Like, I was in a really, really bad place.
I hear you on that. How did you deal?
I mean, I didn't. I kept going. Like, I just kept pushing myself. And honestly, the pandemic that came like beginning of 2020, like, that helped. I cannot say that I would have been able to step back as much as I did. If it hadn't have been for that.
Wow, I agree with the same thing. But by the time that, like, it came in March, I was like, all right, I'm ready for this. But now, to be really honest,
I know.
I don't think my boss listens to this. I feel incredibly burnt out again.
Yeah.
And I don't know how.
It's such a tough place to be.
I try so hard to find a way to balance it out. And, like, I just don't know what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's difficult.
We're all trying. But you seem to me as someone who has, like, mastered it.
No,
you know?
I have not mastered it. I have absolutely not mastered it. I have realized, though, and maybe I'll offer that you can think about this, I've used being busy, having a full schedule to push off trauma or uncomfortable feelings that I don't want to deal with. And so a lot of that started, you know, we talked about this. My younger brother passed away in a motorcycle accident July of 2018. So
that
almost
like so recent.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. And it was about 2 weeks after we released the first episode of the podcast.
Wow.
And I fully was like, I'm not going to stop doing this thing that I love. You know, I just started. I felt like I was just kicking off this dream that I'd had for so long. And almost as kind of like a tribute to him and to honor what I know I loved, I was like, I have to keep going. But I really used the podcast work and building a networking for the podcast as like, well, I'm just so busy. Like, I have so much to do. Like, I can't deal with the fact that I am like have to grieve, or I am grieving, or that my heart is fucking ripped open, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a good realization. So sometimes when I start again to find myself over scheduling or find myself in this burnout mode, I'm like, hey, are you doing something? Always dealing with trauma. We're all always dealing with trauma.
I know. Your attitude about it is so great. You must have really gone through it in like a crazy healthy manner. Because if anybody, I just feel like I'm.
No, I don't think I did.
I don't know. I feel like.
But
we
you
all,
do
we,
come out on the other side of it.
Right? Do you feel like you came out on the other side? I mean, like, you seem to be a thriving, successful woman. You know, what I define as success is someone who has like a thriving personal life with great relationships.
I absolutely have that.
And to be really honest, I feel like that's like a part of my life. I've moved around so much that is like, that is lacking. And I feel like I try so hard at work and with my parents and stuff, but somehow I'm always like I met up with drinks with a friend recently and he told me I was a bad friend. He legit said to my face, you're a bad friend. Oh. And my response was, well, I don't prioritize you because I honestly don't really like you. So I'm like, so why am I here anyway?
So I'm going to leave now.
Yeah.
And but thank you for helping me prune this brush, no, bush,
but,
whatever.
But it was a wake-up call where I was like, to be honest, I haven't been a shitty friend to you because I didn't, like, make any effort or didn't make it apparent that I didn't really want to be your friend. I guess I kept him, I strung him along enough, just enough, because I felt bad. Yeah. But then I realized I wasted a lot of time even thinking about that.
Yeah.
And, like, wasn't thriving on other relationships because I was so worried about exercising and work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, something that I gained, I always knew this, but something that was very clear to me when my brother died was that relationships and the connections that you have with other people are the most important things. No one cares about how much money you had in your bank account. No one cares about the job you did. All we heard after his death, and he was 26 when he died, super social.
Yeah.
Huge following on Instagram, 42,000 followers, like, mm-hmm. had been on a couple reality TV shows, was just like killing it, right? And we had so many people that didn't even know him personally, DMing me, like, I never met your brother. I would go to his page every day, like, whatever. It's just about the connections that you have with another human being. Like, that's the currency to me. So that's what I prioritize and what fills me up and makes me feel good. And I think that you're right. If I'm doing well in that area, then yeah, cool. I'm doing well.
Yes. That's why, like, I like idolize you in that way, because you totally are. And as someone, like, I feel like we have similar struggles. I'm like, always what I put on the back burner were other people. I get so down on myself or so caught in my own, like, eating stuff that I would just, like, stay home by myself forever and, like, blow off people and, like, didn't put myself out
there. I feel like
there,
I'm such a people junkie that, like, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I'm just, like, people give me so much energy and, like, a life force. I can go. It's not that I don't need any alone time.
Yeah.
But I'm good for, like, 3 hours every 2 weeks.
I mean, same, yeah.
I mean, during my day when I'm, like, working, or especially in the mornings, like, yes, I'm alone and that's fine and cool. But, like, anytime that I'm not doing my job, I'm like, well, I want people around. Like, why aren't we doing something?
Dude, same. Mm-mm-mm. But I feel like I just, like, don't go after it. You're wonderful about that. Or, like, in the wrong direction. I don't really know. Sometimes I haven't figured it out.
I have no choice. If I'm sitting at home by myself, then I'm just going to be on Instagram, like, fucking around with these filters and just, like, making a fool of myself. And, like, that's my alternative. Like, I'm going to call someone and be like, do you want to come over and play cards? Like, I don't know. I'll go set a bar, whatever.
All right. Well, Christy Grody, I'm going to posting pictures. I got to post a picture of what you're wearing right now because you're fabulous. And thank you for coming on. And I said this before, and I mean it. And by the way, Christy and I kept referring to, we said this before, because we already recorded a podcast. But we had technical difficulty.
Wait, yeah. I want to, like, count. Did you give me as many compliments as you did on the last one? Because that was the condition that I would come back. So I think before you called me a model, I didn't hear that this time. So I want to be clear about that.
Okay.
You called me an artist. And so I want to also bring that to light to make sure that those are put out into the airwaves.
It's also true. This is why you should follow Christy Grody's personal Instagram page, because she is a freaking model and an artist, and you're thriving on all of those things and all of the things I said before. A badass corporate woman and starting a following and has thriving. You're just success all around. You've conquered so many things.
Okay,
as we've
good.
I
think we've hit it. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, good. I'm just getting going. I made us best friend bracelets if you want to wear yours now.
Yes.
Okay. But thank you for coming on. And, like, I can't wait to have you back, girl.
Thank you so much.
What the Fit podcast. Everything that she said. I haven't. How many episodes do you have?
Oh my god, I don't know. Over 100.
Yeah, so many.
Release,
I think. I mean, I haven't listened to every single one.
If I can do a recommendation, there's an episode called Christopher Smith: Triumph to Freedom After 12 Years of Wrongful Incarceration. It is the most powerful episode I've ever done. It doesn't listen like a typical What the Fit episode, but it is so, so, so important.
Okay.
So I would say people would go out. And my grandma is on the most recent.
Yes.
The System of Strength podcast. She's on the intro. And Grandma Katie is a hoot and a holler, and you will love her.
Nice. I cannot wait. I saw her all over Instagram. Thank you so much, guys. And make sure you follow at Christy Grody and at What the Fit.
What the Fit podcast.
What the Fit podcast. Girl, thank you.
Oh my god, thank you.
This has been Person of Interest with Natalie Jones.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.